This is the podcast for Woodland Presbyterian Church in Memphis, Tennessee. We are maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. We hope you enjoy the message, and if you'd like to learn more about our church, look us up at woodlandpres.org. Thanks so much. May the Lord bless you.
Well, I was listening to an interview on the radio of a woman who was talking about her greatest fear. And her greatest fear was flying. And she was so nervous about flying that she actually went to the airport to go to a class where a pilot was doing a presentation to talk about how flying is actually safe. The biggest issue that she had was the fear of turbulence. You know, when you ride along on the plane, it's kind of bumping and bumping and bumping. It's not really a main concern. It doesn't cause a lot of, or really any plane crashes. But for her, when the bouncing and bumping was going on the plane, it made her really, really unsettled. She felt like she was going to fly out of the sky and hit the ground. But what she learned was when she was in the class, there were other people there, and they had different concerns, different fears of flying. There was a person in the class whose main concern was that the wings were going to fall off the plane and that they would crash. And when this woman learned about that, she thought, that's crazy. That's never going to happen. But then she realized that the concern that she had about turbulence was equally irrational to the people that had the concerns about the wings. Now, some of us fear flying. I'm married to a person who is afraid of flying. And that bouncing, that turbulence, when it hits, it's a big deal. That Brandy's arm will grab onto my leg, you know, Matt. And so we kind of have some laughs about that. But I tell her, I said, Brandy, air travel is the safest form of travel. You're safer flying in a plane than you are actually driving to the airport. But when we're afraid of something, those statistics and the rationality of it doesn't make sense. It just doesn't even make sense because we still feel afraid. And it's one thing to be nervous or afraid of flying, but it's another thing to be living in this moment in which we're living right now. There is a reason why we're afraid. There's a lot of uncertainty. Of course, the main reason is this brutal virus that is spreading all over the world and is now in our community like wildfire. It's been the most difficult week in our country in terms of deaths and reported cases. And we're asking ourselves the question, is the curve flattening? We're hoping that it is, but is it really flattening? This thing is literally viral. What does it mean for us? You know, we know people who are sick, people that we're in relationship with, people that we're connected to, people connected to our church, people in critical condition. My sister-in-law is caring for critically ill people in a hospital in Orlando. It's getting closer to us. It's scary. And we're also concerned about the impact of this social distancing and how it's affecting our economy. We feel anxious. We feel afraid. What's going to happen to my job? Are there going to be cutbacks, layoffs, all of the things? And if we let our minds race and if we keep watching the news, we can be overwhelmed with fear. I want to encourage you. In the story, we see two different groups of people who are afraid. We see that the soldiers are afraid, and we see that the women are afraid. But there's a big difference between the two. Let's look back at the text. It says in verse 1, "Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning," Matthew tells us, "and his clothing was white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men." Let's just consider these soldiers first. Matthew tells us that the fear of the angel caused these men to tremble and then to become like dead men. What were they afraid of? This angel appears, and so they were stuck. They couldn't even move. They were terrified. They couldn't even run away, and they certainly couldn't defend themselves. And what's fascinating to me is if you think about these men who were Roman soldiers from the Roman army, at the time that was the most powerful army in the entire world. If they were Roman, that meant that they had to come from either the city of Rome or the country that was to become Italy. And that's a long, long journey. It would take you a couple of months to make that journey on foot. You would need to be strong. You would have to have great endurance. And these soldiers had the most technologically advanced weaponry that was available in the day. We have a picture of what that weaponry looked like from Ephesians, because we believe that Paul, when he wrote the letter to the church in Ephesus, was probably being guarded by a Roman soldier. And at the end of that letter, he talks about the armor of God. You know that passage. And it talks about all of the weaponry, all of the defensive armor that the soldiers had. He talks about the helmet, the breastplate. He talks about the boots, a shield, a sword. This was a fighting machine that feared no one. And not to mention the fact that these soldiers were part of a squad. There were 16 of these men. And what was their job? Oh, hey, guys, we need you to go and guard a tomb. A guy died, and we want you to make sure that no one gets the body. Well, that's not a really tough task for 16 Roman soldiers. But then the angel came, and they were afraid. It says, like dead men. They realized that their armor, that their weapons, their training, their teamwork, everything was useless against this powerful force that was coming right at them. All of the money that they had spent building up their arsenal to protect themselves was worthless in this moment. This enemy was new. It was unknown. And they knew in that moment that there was nothing that they could do to stop it. And so they were afraid. Like dead men. We feel that way a little bit, don't we? This powerful force coming at us, wreaking havoc. We don't know what to do. We feel stuck. We're stuck in our homes. We're just waiting. It's totally natural to have feelings of fear in this time. I want you to know that. It's okay to be afraid. We fear losing something valuable. We fear losing our lives or the lives of someone that we know, their life. We fear losing something valuable, our job or our savings. Fear is a powerful emotion, and it's often a useful emotion. You know, being afraid of sharks is a good thing in certain situations, right? If there are sharks swimming in the ocean and you can see them, being afraid of them is a wise thing. It helps you to know, I shouldn't go out into the water because there are sharks. Fear actually helps us survive in difficult times. It protects us from dying. It makes us jump back from a ledge or out of the way of a moving car. Fear is good in some situations. It's a natural thing. The problem isn't being afraid in the right way on occasion. The problem is living in fear. See, the difference between the soldiers and the women is that the soldiers were living in fear. The women were living in the midst of fear. Yeah, the women, they were afraid too. We know this because the angel says to them, first, be not afraid, fear not ye. He knows he's scary. And you look at the soldiers, they're shaking in their boots, they're stuck, they're like dead men. He knows this is a scary situation. Think about it, Jesus was gone, their leader, the one who had lived this glorious, wonderful life. He was loving, he was serving, he was caring, he was forgiving. He had restored them to who they were called to be. He showed them what kindness really was. He bore witness to the truth. He stood up to the authorities. He cared for the poor, the sick, the marginalized. He loved them. He made them whole. And now he was gone, crucified just days before, ripped from their lives, forcing them into desperation. Yes, they were afraid. But what's the difference between the soldiers and the women? Matthew tells us in verse 5, he says, but the angel said to the women, be not afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. The women are seeking Jesus. The difference between living in fear and living in the midst of fear is seeking Jesus. What did the angel say to them next in verse 6? He says, he's not here. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where he lay. You see, Jesus is not there anymore. He is risen. He's not dead. He's alive. And he's proven his love for you. He's proven his power over sin, Satan, and death. He's come to take you to himself, so that you'll know that he is indeed the glorious king of the universe. Yes, there is fear. Yes, there is death. But yes, Jesus lives. I know that you feel anxiety. I feel anxiety. I know that you feel unsettled. We all do. It's a stressful time. So what do we do about it? Well, the angel of the Lord continues. Look at verse 7. He says, "Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. And behold, he's going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." You see, the angel gives them a mission. Go and tell. Tell those who are hiding. Tell those who are afraid that Jesus is risen. Tell them what happened. Announce this good news. Tell everybody. Tell the world. Share with your neighbors. Share it on Facebook. Call your sister. Tell your boss. Tell everybody what Jesus has done to conquer sin, Satan, and death. Tell somebody. And look at verse 8. They do what I think is something is completely amazing. So they departed quickly. Some translations say they ran from the tomb with fear and great joy. What an interesting thing. They ran with fear and great joy to tell the disciples. Fear and great joy. Those two things together don't seem to really make sense, do they? How is it even possible to run with fear and with great joy? The Greek words are mega kara, literally mega joy. Run with mega joy and with fear. How does this happen? Well, we know that there's more than one kind of fear. There's the anxiety-inducing fear of the unknown, the fear of change, fear of difficulty, even fear of death that causes us all to act like the soldiers, like dead men in such a way that we can't even move. But there's another kind of fear, the fear that appears in the Bible, and another kind of fear that we can cultivate in our own lives, and that's the fear that is a holy reverence for an almighty God, a God who's made the universe, a God who has set all the stars in all the places, a God who is sovereign over everyone and everything, who has guided his church through plagues and pandemics and earthquakes and disasters from long, long ago. Somehow, these women were beginning to understand the world in a new way. The angel had told them the good news about Jesus Christ, and they were beginning to understand in some way what Jesus had done. Indeed, he was more powerful than the grave, and that caused a different kind of fear to well up inside of them, a holy fear of God, which led them to run with fear and with great joy. You know, fear can paralyze us. It can make us hesitant to live life to the fullest. It can make us reluctant to engage in relationships. It can prevent us from living with joy. But the fear of God allows us to live life to the fullest. It moves us to live in the midst of the tension of the world, in a world that's chaotic and that's unsettling, where we don't know what's going to happen. We know who is in charge of all things. See, the reason that we can live with fear and joy is because the one who conquered the grave is with us. With him by our side, we have nothing to fear. That doesn't mean that we're always going to know what to do. That doesn't mean that difficult days aren't still ahead for us. But it does mean that God is with us. The best experience that I've had of this in my own life, I've shared this with you in the past, was a story that happened to my son and I in 2011. We were down in Florida in New Smyrna Beach, where we like to go to the beach, and there's some nice waves there. It's a little bigger waves than the Gulf Coast. And Levi, who was 4 years old at the time, and he gave me permission to share this story, he wanted to go out on the ocean for the first time. He was pretty anxious about it. He didn't really like the pool or the waves or anything like that. And so I said, let's go out. And so I took him by the hand, and we walked out into the waves, and they were coming in pretty easy. But as, of course, I was a lot taller than him, and they were hitting me about thigh level. They were coming up to his waist and then a little bit higher. Well, one of the waves hit him in the chest, and the water sprayed up, and it got into his eyes. Well, immediately, it began to sting his eyes, and he began to cry. And so he ripped his hand from mine to begin to rub his eyes to get the salt water out of them. But then what happened next was the next wave came, and it knocked him off of his feet, and it made him fall down. And then he began to freak out. He was crying and screaming. It was scary for him. And the whole time, I was standing right there. And so I reached out, and I grabbed his hand. and he just wanted me to pick him up. And I just grabbed him and I held him close to me. In that moment of fear, when he was afraid for his very life, you know, I could have just explained to him, well, Levi, you know, there's a slight undertow in this part of the water, and while the water feels like it's pulling you, all you really need to do is just stand up. I could have told him that a wave is just a transfer of energy from one point to another, and that there's not really going to be permanent displacement of the particles, that is, he and I, in this medium. I could have explained that his eyes actually have a form of salt water in them, but the salinity of the salt water in the ocean is higher. That's why it causes it to sting, and if you just rub it a little bit, it'll be fine. I could have told him, you know, one day, buddy, you're really going to love these waves. In the future, you're going to run and run and play, and you're going to have a great time. It's going to be great. But he didn't need to hear explanations. He just needed my presence. He just needed his dad to pick him up. And thankfully, in that moment, I was wise enough by God's grace not to do any of those other things, but to scoop him up and hold him close to me. He just wanted to know that in the midst of the crashing sea, when his world was falling apart, that his dad was with him. That in his desperation, I would be there, not to offer an explanation, not to just talk about the force of the moon as it works on the tides, but just to be with him. And in the midst of our fear, isn't that really what we need the most? Don't we really need to know that there's a God who is there, not off, distant, not paying attention to the concerns that we experience in our hearts, but that loves us in the midst of the storm, even though we may not know why the storm has come in the way that it has? Don't we really need to know that while God may not lift us from the waves, he'll be right there with us in the midst of them? See, when we know that God is with us, then we'll be able to have joy and fear at the same time. And I think that's what John wants us to see, or Matthew wants us to see in this passage, that Jesus is with us in the midst of our fear. Look at verse 9. He says, "And behold, Jesus met them," that is his disciples, "greetings," he said. "And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Be not afraid, fear not ye. Go and tell my brothers and go to Galilee, and there they will see me.'" Jesus meets these disciples and he says, "Greetings." And what's fascinating to me is if you look at the word that appears as greetings, it's translated, it's meant to encourage. The word is kairo, which was related to kara, which we have actually heard before today in this sermon. Kara is joy. Kairo means rejoice. Jesus says to them, "Rejoice," and it's a command. "Rejoice, do not be afraid." In the midst of the fear, we can have joy. Not because we know what's next, not because things won't be difficult, but that Jesus is with us. He's demonstrated his love and his kindness by going to the cross and rising again from the dead. He'll never leave us. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. That's the story of the resurrection. And that's something that we have every single day. Rejoice. Fear not ye. Let's pray.
Thank you for listening to this message from Woodland Presbyterian Church, maturing God's people to serve a hurting world. Again, if you'd like to learn more about our congregation, please visit us at woodlandpres.org. Thank you very much, and God bless you today.